Are you ready to go through Jordan? I want to talk to you about going through Jordan, passing through Jordan. And in order to get to maybe the full significance of what God did with His people, Israel, we need to have a brief, hopefully brief, geography lesson. Our first slide shows the Great Rift Valley. This valley is, and the red line that's running through that signifies what is called the Great Rift Valley. It is the dividing line between the Arabian tectonic plate, plates of the earth that come together, and along the edge, often you get earthquakes because those plates move. The Arabian tectonic plate and the division from the African tectonic plate. You say, what on earth does that have to do with Israel? Well, there's Israel right there, right on that fault line. And that fault line runs right down through the Jordan Rift Valley. The Jordan River is at the bottom, if you will, of this deep valley. There are the two tectonic plates join. And so you have it here. Now, in our reading, this is where Israel and Joshua were. They were on the east side of the Jordan in Moab country, the plains of Moab. And they're about to cross the Jordan and go and attack Jericho, which will be the first city to be conquered in Canaan. Further, it's good to know the Jordan Rift Valley in its dimensions. This chart shows us that first of all, the elevation up here, look at Mount Hermon, 9,200 feet, and it's snow-capped year-round usually. Well, then here are the elevations, and note that the Dead Sea goes down to almost 2,000 feet below sea level. Folks, that's a lot of drop of water. And the water flows from the streams. It starts flowing into the Jordan here. It comes all down and it empties into the Sea of Galilee. Note its elevation is a few, 100 so feet above sea level. And then it flows on down, the Jordan River flowing here and then down into the Dead Sea. Note it spans about, I didn't want to do that yet. It spans approximately 160 miles. Now, that happens usually in the spring of the year. Same time that they cross the Jordan is the same time by the calendar that the earlier ancestors crossed the Red Sea. If there is a connection between the Israelites crossing the Red Sea, coming out of slavery in Egypt, and now going into the land that they have been promised. And they have to cross Jordan to do it. And they have to cross Jordan during flood stage, where the river is roaring and it's deep. And this is the place where they will go across. Israel and Jordan at Joshua 3 is what it's talking about. We believe it's about in this area that they went. Now, went across. Now, I wanted to show you, or you take note this city right here, Adam. Remember that. It's going to be in our text. The city of Adam. Note, it's a good ways up from where they crossed up to Adam. And then on down, it empties into the Dead Sea. And here's where they're ultimately going, to attack Jericho. Here is the Arabian tectonic plate. Here is the African tectonic plate, right along this fault line. Well, you say, what on earth does that have to do with our lesson, with our Bible? Well, let's see. Hopefully that will prove helpful. Now, here's a picture of the Jordan River above the Sea of Galilee, where it's beginning to collect the water, both from rainfall and melting snow. And you notice it just looks fairly peaceful, like you could just, well, what's the big deal of crossing over a river like that? And if you go to Israel today and you go down by the Dead Sea, it'll look kind of like that. We got bigger bayous in Houston than this. This is kind of like a little creek. Yeah. But you see, here is the Allenby Bridge, circa 1920. Note the width of the Jordan. And this bridge has been replaced with a modern bridge. It runs over into Jordan. But 1920, this is an old photograph. During the spring, the river is swelling and getting out of its banks. And then this one is in 1935. And there, look where the bridge is, up in the upper right-hand corner. Tried to indicate it with the arrow. So, when it says that the river was in flood stage, think about this. And think about this. The Jordan River in flood stage. In some portions can be a raging river, dangerous to step out into. So, Israel needs to cross. And I want to talk to you this morning about, for you have not passed this way before, from Joshua 3, 1 through 17. Let's read again. Thank you, for Aaron, for your reading, and now let's concentrate on again. And I note, I bring your attention to the highlighted words and phrases. I'm going to try to make a point of these, but maybe I'll forget. But you get the lesson from the highlighted words. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and he and all the sons of Israel set out from Shittim and came to the Jordan. And they lodged there before they crossed. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the midst of the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, now note the command, important, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God. Why add all those qualifiers and modifiers to that? To get our attention. This is a symbol of God and His power and of His prestige and His eminence and His holiness. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God. With the Levitical priest carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. So you get the procession that's going on here. The priests pick up the Ark of the Covenant. And remember, only the priests could carry it on those long poles. And they set out, and all the people will follow. But, however, there shall be between you and it a distance of about 2,000 cubits by measure, approximately 1,000 yards. What's the deal here? Why not let us get closer? We're not told, except in just a moment I'm going to direct you to a phrase, possibly to indicate reverence, indicate specialness. You're not to get too close to it. In fact, you're to stay 1,000 yards back. Do not come near it that you may know the way by which you shall go. For you have not passed this way before. Wait a minute, Lord. I want to get up at the front so I can see where we're going. That I can anticipate and know before others know. No, everybody's going to stay 1,000 yards back. What do you have to do if you're 1,000 yards back and you're looking way? You know, 1,000 yards, that's a pretty good distance. My nearsightedness, I better have my glasses on to be able to see it. In other words, I'm going to be totally directed by what I see up front there. I've got to follow that. If it turns to the left, I've got to go there. Right, go on, stop. Total dependence on looking ahead right down there. For you have not passed this way before. You know, there are all kinds of situations in our lives where we have not passed this way before. You know, this is common to life. Just a reminder, at birth, before you were born, you hadn't been born. You hadn't passed that way before. And all parents, before you have children, you haven't passed that way before. You're going to learn things and need to know things that you haven't known before. And then in childhood, discovery of the world. It's a joy for us to watch little ones who have never experienced this, to experience it. And then there's adolescence, teenage years, learning ourselves. You start out as a baby learning about the world and your boundaries, etc. Now into the teenage years, we're learning about ourselves. And then young adulthood, learning about others, about family. How do families work? And you know what? We need guidance in every stage of the journey. And it's one of the great tragedies of our culture. We have neglected to learn the lessons in each stage of our journey as human beings. And then into middle age, learning our place in the world. Where do I fit in? What is going to be my contribution in the workplace, in the home, in the community, in the culture? And then the older age, learning the meaning of our lives. I find that the older I get, the more it is important to me to understand, well, what's it all been for? What am I really doing? What is it that I have accomplished or haven't? The meaning of our lives. And then death, the last adventure into real living. That's how the Bible portrays it. Death is the last journey. Well, we hadn't passed that way yet. And there are things for us to learn. In that, we are developing our character. The character development. Tim and I have talked often about being self-aware. And being self-aware just means that we have the ability to look at ourselves objectively and note the weaknesses and the strengths and to make correction. Overcoming our fears. Fears of the presence will keep us from doing things productively. Fears of the unknown that might happen. You say, well, this might happen or this might happen. Surely I'm not the only one who has taken on this challenge of COVID thinking, okay, I've got to do this because this might happen. So I'm going to wear a mask, or I'm going to stay in, or I'm going to, I take extra zinc because somebody said that it helps your immune system. I don't know whether it helps, but I take it. So far, something has worked. I put it to the grace of God. We're going to have to do things we've never done before on this journey. And also, we've got to overcome our fears of what we have done in the past that were failures. We've tried this and failed, we say. So I'll never try it again. Well, we may need to. We may need to pick it up and try again because it's a good thing. And then overcoming our lust. You know the threefold definition of sin. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the lust for your ego, pride of life. Overcoming our strong desires. It's not necessarily wrong to have a strong desire. God allowed us or made us in such a way that we can strongly desire. But we've got to put it within boundaries. We've got to control it. Well, we haven't been this way before, you say. I've never learned to overcome my lust and desires. Well, this is part of the journey. And then learning to trust. Isn't that what following somebody develops? Jesus? Trust Him. Now He gives us reasons to trust Him, and He gives us evidence to develop our confidence in Him, just as God will do in this case. But ultimately, the question comes down, do I trust Him? And develop our trust and develop our hope. faith or trust leads to the ability to hope, to always have a future, and also to learn to love. To love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others as myself. Each stage can be viewed with fear and dread, or it can be viewed as an adventure filled with hope of better things. Which will it be for us? Will we take this challenge of this past year as we go into 2021 and say, I'm going to face it with hope that better things will be, that I can learn, that I can grow because I have handled the challenge of COVID or whatever else comes with it by the power of God. And so, the rest of the story. This time, verses 5 through 17 of Joshua 3. Then Joshua said to the people, very important, consecrate yourself. Consecrate is not a word that we commonly use. Sanctify. Make yourself holy. Dedicate. Consecrate. Often that involves repentance and forgiveness. Of noting the things that might need to change and directing ourselves to take whatever action is needed in order to accomplish it. First of all, consecrate yourselves. Why? For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spoke to the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over ahead of the people. Remember, they're going to stay 1,000 yards ahead. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went ahead of the people. They're ahead. They're leading. Now the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel. Remember, this is Joshua's first, if you will, his first command. He's taken over the command from Moses, who was not allowed to go into the land. This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. You shall moreover command the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. They're going to have to get their feet wet. Now, I want to just make it a mention again. This generation, most of whom would not have been through the Red Sea. Remember, all those 20 years and over, it says men, but I still haven't answered my question. Well, the women died as well. But at any rate, a whole host of them are now dead because of the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. But now this is a new generation, most of whom had not experienced the Red Sea. They had never seen water like this. They had never been in water like this. Remember, it's flood stage. It's raging. You shall moreover command the priest to stand still in the Jordan. Watch it. Then Joshua said to the sons of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will assuredly dispossess from before you the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Hivite, the Perizzite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, and the Jebusite. These seven nations were the pagan nations, and there were others. The seven, I think, represents all of the pagan nations who occupied Canaan. You see what God is doing? He's leading them into the promised land. God gave it to them. Even to Abraham, their great, 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 great grandfather. But now for them to possess it, they have to dispossess and eradicate those who are living in the land by God's decree. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over ahead of you into the Jordan. Now then, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man for each tribe. It shall come about when the soles of the feet of the priest who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, rest in the waters of the Jordan. Remember, what is he saying? When their feet get in the water, the waters of the Jordan will be cut off, and the waters which are flowing down from above will stand in one heap. So when the people set out from their tents to cross the Jordan with the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and when those who carried the ark came into the Jordan and the feet of the priest carrying the ark were dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks all the days of harvest. Springtime. Flood stage. The waters which were flowing down from above stood and rose up in one heap a great distance away at Adam. Remember, I showed you where Adam was? The city that is beside Zarethan, and those which were flowing down toward the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off, so the people crossed opposite Jericho. And the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel crossed on dry ground until all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan. Well, how can we face new challenges? I want to make 3 points and apply that to us, to our time and our culture. In view of this story, what are we to learn from it? First of all, we've got to step out in faith. These are the principles upon which we must act. Trust is the ability, or faith is the ability, to act not being able to see all the way. Seeing what's ultimately going to happen. Remember, we're 1,000 yards behind. We're just eyes on the leader, and we're following him, stepping out in faith. Further, we got to get our feet wet. There is a proverbial phrase, if you will, an idiom that says, get your feet wet, meaning what? Do it for the first time. I'm wondering if it didn't come from this text. I don't know the etymology of that phrase, but I wonder if it wasn't taken from this Bible story. Nothing happened until the priest got in the water. Now, what does that indicate? Well, I'm going to stand here, Lord, and wait for you to divide that thing or do something before I risk my life and get in. No, it doesn't work that way. You got to step into the water. Now you say, well, they were the priests. Aren't we? We're the priest of Christ. We'll come back to that. First of all, getting our feet wet, we must follow the leader. And he is in the midst of the difficulty. He's there. And he will control it and bring it a conclusion to our good. In following the leader, we are not going to be, if you will, so close that we can look ahead of him and decide, okay, Lord, that was a good decision. I can see now why you did this or this or this or this. No, that's not the position. We're following the leader from the rear. Authority must be established first in the leader, and we must recognize it and follow it. We must not try to run ahead of God following the leader. Sorry, not done with that. Note, he says, I want you, if you will, in a reverential distance so that you may not know the way. Well, Lord, that just seems like that's backward. Looks like you'd want us to get up there and be able to see the way. No, you're going to start trusting in your own judgment rather than in the revealed Word of God. Remember, he said, you have not passed this way before. If we're going to face things we have never faced, we're going to have to act on faith, not being able to see the full deal as to its conclusion and how God will use it. Further, we must consecrate ourselves, purify. The Jews had all kinds of ceremonial ways to consecrate or to purify themselves. But what does it involve to consecrate ourselves? Well, it's a recognition that we need to change. That's that self-awareness that we must be able to develop, that we need to change. Further, we must be willing and humble to seek forgiveness and then to dedicate ourselves to the change that we see God wants us to make. Are you ready to go away you've never been before? Who knows what 2021 comes, but I'll guarantee you, and you'll guarantee it too, that we're going to have to face things in 2021 that we've never faced before. They may bear semblance or be similar to previous things, but it won't be that thing exactly. And then the results. He says, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. We serve a living God, and he will demonstrate that he is powerful and alive. He will deal with our enemies. He will fight for us. He will give us the promised land, as he promised ancient Israel, Canaan. He has promised us heaven, just as Danny prayed in his prayer. And then secondly, getting our feet wet, we must trust God's power. Again, the Jordan River was in flood stage, out of its banks. No telling how deep it was. I do not know. They had to step out into that, to trust God. Well, what if it parts and we get out there and then all of a sudden it just comes back and just swallows us up? Well, what about that? You're going to have to trust God for that. Remember, it was also at the same time that previously, a little over 40 years ago, they had crossed the Red Sea. Same time in the calendar. But only the priests got their feet wet, you say. Well, everyone else passed over on dry ground. I think I'll leave that priesting to somebody else. Let them be the ones to step out in the river there and get their feet wet, and I'll just wait till God does something that I can be more safe, and then I'll go. Now, we're dealing with metaphors, and I don't want to extend them beyond what they should be used. I know. But we're priests. The Bible affirms that. New Testament priest. We're priests in Christ's kingdom. It is our responsibility to step into the water. By getting our feet wet, do we make the way easier for those who follow? Fathers, you're serving in that capacity in your home. Elders are serving in that capacity in this church. Those of us who preach and teach are serving in that capacity to those who listen and who come to learn. Again, by getting in the water, getting our feet wet by faith, are we attempting to make things easier for those who come after us? We have benefited from those who have gone before us. Bible translators, commentators, parents, godly parents who taught us, Old Testament and New Testament characters whose biographies are preserved through inspiration, give us courage. In many ways, we walk on dry ground, don't we? Metaphorically. For all that have gone before us. But we've got to think of those who are coming after us. The young people, our children. And those who come to Christ and are babes in Christ. They need to see priests who are out front. And I emphasize that this way. Often we mistakenly think, well, I'll just leave that up to the elders or the preachers and the teachers. No, in each of our lives, there will be a role to play of being an example for others to follow. And then our final point of getting our feet wet, we must remember the stones. Now to do this, I want to read a few verses in chapter 4 of Joshua. And let me paraphrase some of the verses that we won't show. But Joshua was commanded to take 12 men, one from each tribe, have them return to the middle of the Jordan to where the priests were standing and pick up a stone and bring that stone to where they were lodging. And ultimately, they built a monument. 12 stones. So people would remember what God did. Let's read it. So Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the sons of Israel, one man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross again to the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. And each of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. We're going to have 12 stones. Let this be a sign among you so that when your children ask later. Think about that. When your children ask later, those children who didn't experience this, who weren't there, and even the little ones who maybe did not get the significance, when they ask later, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Brethren, let's get better and better at telling and showing our children what Christ means to us. By the way we live, of course, and what we teach them and say. So that they will be prompted to say, what do these stones mean? And then you shall say to them, because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. Let's skip to toward the end of the chapter in 4:21 through 24, just two verses. Well, there'll be three. He said to the sons of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall inform your children, saying, Israel crossed this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed, just as the Lord your God had done to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed, that all the peoples of the earth, everybody, may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. So let's remember our stones. Remember our stones. What are they? Some of them, our baptism into Christ. If you will, that's our Red Sea crossing. They were delivered from physical slavery. We are delivered from spiritual slavery. Parents, if your children are old enough or when they get old enough, will you tell them why you were baptized? Do they know? Now we don't want them to do it just because you did. But they need to know that this was a choice that you made and why you made it, given the circumstances to the degree that you think is appropriate and that you can. And then what about our war? Remember, they are crossing the Jordan to go to war against pagan nations by God's command. So we have to cross our Jordan to go to war against the enemy and enter ultimately the promised land. We're going to be fighting this battle till we die. And then the Lord's Supper, as we were very effectively reminded. What does it mean to us? What does it remind us of? Our stone, and further, our family life. The way you conduct your family life, do they see that Christ is imminent and preeminent, and that He is there within you? The way mothers and fathers treat one another, or I should say husbands and wives treat one another, and mothers and fathers and children treat one another. Family life, and then the hard times. Often we make a mistake, parents, I believe, in not discussing with our children some of the hard times we've been through and how we got through it, how God helped us. And then the good times, we want to include them too, reminding them, and all of it developing our character. Our character, who we've become because of God leading us. And so we conclude, for what purpose? That all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty. Wouldn't that be a wonderful epitaph to put on your stone, if you so wish, a stone? John's life, in him we saw that the Lord was mighty. And then, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. How'd that turn out for Israel? They forgot about the monument of the stones, and ultimately they were lost through neglect. So the stones weren't there for the children to see and to ask, what are these, Mom and Daddy, what do these stones mean? They were gone because they neglected them. We must not do that. And my final statement, no decision without prayer, and don't look back. That's especially meaningful to me because this came from one of my mentors, Homer Haley. I was talking to him about how you went through life not knowing what the outcome was going to be, praying about things of providence and provision and destiny and all those things. And he said, I remember I could take you back to the place that he said it. John, no decision without prayer. And he means going to the Father and seeking His will, which would imply also our willingness to check His book, His revealed word. And then once, don't look back. Full speed ahead. Thank you for listening. On Jordan's stormy banks, thank Michael for taking my suggestions on the hymns. They were suggestions, Mike, but I'm glad you took them. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye. Where? To Canaan's fair and happy land, where my possessions lie. Let's think about that. Please come if we can help in any way. Let's stand and sing.